Hello, hello, hello. How we doing? You alright? Oof. What is going on with you? You all having a good 2020? I know it's all a bit hectic at the moment with the coronavirus and all that jazz, but don't worry. Get yourself indoors or outdoors, whatever you're doing. Settle in. Make yourself a brew, whatever works for you, however you listen to this or take it in. Yeah, just want to say a huge thank you for listening. I do really appreciate it. I'm trying to comprehend it, to be honest, because it's just mad. Say some of the messages I get off people who listen to it, I'm truly grateful for them, and it's really humbling. And I'm just excited for these next couple of episodes that I'm going to drop, because this one's an absolute belter. It's proper like gorilla as well, man. It was like, I'll tell you. So basically, big shout out to Paul and all the boys, because it was a great chat. But basically what happened was, I got my laptop and my mic, and I was at Champs Camp that day training. So I was carrying it all around with me, and then ended up, basically, I spoke to Paul, and it was obviously, the weather's been horrendous over the past kind of month or two, and basically the I think their gig was, it was down south somewhere, so basically we're driving up, and he was messaging me just saying, oh mate, like we're on our way, so obviously kind of just checking times and stuff like that, and then he said, oh, there's been a big accident, you know, we're not sure we're gonna get there on time, so obviously I was gutted, because it was probably one of those things where it's like there was only kind of one chance to do it, and obviously I was praying he'd get there early, sound check, and then we'd do it either before or after, and thankfully they got there safe and sound, I thank Paul so much for fitting me in, man, because you know what I mean, he's in the middle of his tour, you know what I mean, he's playing Manchester, which I knew was a big gig for him. Could tell that they were knackered and obviously a bit stressed, because obviously we're travelling up and getting, because they had some of the obviously they've got all the gear with them, but he was touring with The Calling, and they had some of their gear as well, so obviously the stress of that and making sure they got there on time, and then I'm just stood there like, "What are you doing my podcast?" You know what I mean? It's like it's a lot, and he didn't have to do that, and I can fully appreciate him. He's a fascinating guy, man. Really, really cool guy, and his music's brilliant as well. And I'm so excited I've captured this, because I genuinely do. Like, I've been fortunate over the years. I've met some really cool people, and he's one of them. And I say I've only met him twice, and just clicked with him. Just a really, really cool, down to earth guy, and he's really talented as well. So basically, yeah. So I'm carrying this bloody laptop and mic around with me all day. Get into the back of their minibus, stroke tour bus, and then realise I forgot my bloody wire for my laptop, because my laptop's that bloody shit and old. I have to have it plugged in for it to work. So basically I was like, blagged it, did it on the phone, so we were kicking it old school, we're back to the original the original recording device I'm just using my phone, but again it works, and it's great, because you can hear a bit of, you know, like I say, we're literally parked up on the road next to Factory, which, if you know, in Manchester's a pretty cool venue, and I had some fond memories being in there actually, and being back in there, and I managed to take a couple of pictures as well, so this is the episode. It's about 30 minutes, and yeah, I'm just well happy with it, because it was a great conversation. It was short and sweet, but I think what we talk about is really important, and understanding his process, and you know, the ups and downs that he's had in his relatively short career, but also he's, you know, it's the highs that he's had already are unbelievable, and he talks a little bit about that in this episode, so enjoy. Make sure you check out his music, please give him a follow, show him some love and some support, because he's a genuinely lovely guy, and he's just from a lovely family as well. His family is just super nice, and Yeah, I was buzzing we captured this, to be honest, because it was a real special one. I hope you enjoy.
I'll just get us going. All right, boys, hold on. Mate, nice one for doing this one. Appreciate it, bro.
Yeah, of course, mate. Of course.
So, basically, we met. How long ago was it now? Fucking hell. Last year, wasn't it?
End of
last year?
End of August, was it?
Something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, the video was end of August, yeah. Holy water video.
Holy water, and it just fucking blew up, didn't it? After that, the end of that night. Like, it was such a good day as well. Like, it was proper mint. Obviously, you didn't the whole day. I wasn't doing it in the afternoon, but.
Yeah, it was a long day. But it came out great for a one-day shoot and for like the budget we had as well.
Yeah.
It was mad because it wasn't an expensive shoot. It was like, if you take out the wrapper being in it and everything, it was probably about, what, 4K, 5K?
Yeah.
It came out great.
It was amazing, wasn't it?
And we're currently looking at doing another video like that for end of this August.
Nice.
For like a standalone song, but it's going to be all story. I'm talking to Adam at the moment.
I'll call that on.
I'm just working out. It's got like a proper Batman vibe. It's like, we just want to do like this big Batman detective kind of film thing. For this song I've got called Criminal that will just be like a 6 month standalone.
Oh, man.
That we're aiming to do. And yeah, it's going to be like, that'll be a couple of day shoots, so maybe for like 10 to 15K. So.
Yeah.
Mate, that's
going to
be mental.
Mate, that's going off, mate.
Yeah.
To be fair, Adam is that guy, though. He's just like, I'm pretty lucky, man. I've worked with some massive, like, pretty big artists, man. But I'm probably biased now because I'm mates with him. But I wasn't originally. It was just hired me as an actor. Yeah. But his music videos are just fucking sick, mate.
Crazy,
like, because he just gets you to do shit. No, no, mate. I'd be like, I ain't doing that, mate. But for him, I'm like, yeah, go on, man. No, yeah, fuck it.
He's
and that's what it's about. And you get to. I don't know, I think this is why it's so good, and this is why I started the podcast as well, because I was saying it to your dad before. It's like, you get to meet like-minded people, but you never meet, you know, do you know what I mean? There's no ways we would have crossed paths if it wasn't for doing what we're doing. Like, I know that's a bit random, but it is, it's true. It's that random thing where you, whether you're an actor, musician, an artist, a painter, whatever, we're all in that kind of creative, you know, vibe, and it's like, you get to connect with these people that... we're just on the same page, you know what I mean? And you click straight away, but unfortunately, like, when you're on set or stuff, you don't have the chance to chat a lot of the time.
Yeah,
because it's
so busy.
And even now, like, they say that they thank so much for fitting me in, because like, you're literally going to go on stage, aren't you? And, like,
yeah, and like, we're going in an hour.
So in an hour, mate, do you know what I mean? So I fully appreciate it, because it's, and that's another thing, it's the time thing, the amount of people I've got set up with.
Yeah.
But it's just finding the time. But it's like, I mean, you've got to make the time, haven't you? And
that's
and
the thing.
Fit it in and do all these things that you want to do, because you...
It was a long old journey. We didn't actually know if we were going to even get here.
Yeah.
The amount of, like, accidents.
And we had some of the coolest gear in the back of the van.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, so, we were meant to set up at 2, and then they pushed it to 3, and then 4, and then we literally got here. Well, you saw us. We got here, like, what, half hour ago, 40 minutes ago, set up. Now we're doing this. Then we go back in, and we play, then we come off, then we drink.
Yeah. Then we drink.
Yeah, then we drink, so... Well,
So you've done 4 days already on tour.
4 days already.
And you've got...
Where have we played? We've played London.
Swansea.
London was nuts. We had loads of friends and family there. That was great.
Swansea
went off. Yeah. That went off.
It started with them going, get the fuck off stage. We're the cooling stuff.
Yeah, before we played a song.
They're like, yes, go on.
No, we hadn't played a song yet and they were saying it.
Mate, I'm half Welsh and they're like... mate, they're fucking nuts, the Welsh. I love them. Do you know what I mean? Because they are, especially music, man, they're proper into it. But there is that attitude where, like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, and then, as soon as we played one song, they just loved it. And that was the best show.
Yeah.
After Home Firth, which is that one.
Yeah, that was, I seen the picture and I was like, fucking
mad.
Hell. Yeah.
Mad.
It's been that venue, though, isn't it? I've been once before. It's fucking class.
It was awesome. Good. Like, really good sound as well. It was a weird one, though, because, like, it was one of those ones where it was a brilliant one for the pictures and the videos.
Yeah.
But Swansea was better.
Yeah.
Well, that's the energy.
That's the one when he went to get the crowd sitting and no one sang. Like, there was very little.
Do you find that, though, sometimes? I find it with if even... Probably similar, like, when you do a big budget shoot and it's amazing and you think, oh, wow, these are top. But I prefer when I do little jobs or, say...
Yeah.
Little sets where there's only a couple of us on it, and I don't know.
It's more relaxed, isn't it?
Yeah.
I feel like the bigger sets are there's more stress and there's a lot going on. Like, I feel like that might be kind of the case with this next video, but because it's Adam, he can always make it relaxed. But I think if I went to someone else, super stressful to do a video like that.
So. It's the small ones are the best ones.
Yeah, yeah. A bit more intimate.
Like tonight, Manchester, like that venue is small. The fucking stage is small. But that's not the best. But like the venue's so small, we've got quite a few fans coming on stage.
Nice.
So it's sold out.
And then tomorrow sold out.
They're saying then to your dad, it's like, it's a proper... Like the factory is like a proper Manchester, like huge thing. Like my mum and dad met at the factory, like the original factory. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like a proper renowned venue. And they did this probably about 10 years ago now. Man, I've not been in there for years. And I just had flashbacks when I went in there. I was like, fucking hell, I've been absolutely steaked in this place. But it is, it's becoming a really cool, you know, kind of cult venue where there's, you know, quality bands playing. And like when you said you were playing that, I was like, it's a good one to have on the list. That, because
nice,
I think, to be honest, I think we, especially the way you guys are going, like, you'll probably be too big to play that next time around, but it's definitely a good one to, you know, to have on the list, because it's renowned and it's a proper cool little venue.
I think tonight might, even though my voice ain't completely right, I'm just gonna take it a bit easy tonight and got a tour in it, really, just adapt and do what you can. But I mean, there's nothing, I've got the guitar as well, so if I don't want to sing a part, because I've got the rest of the tour to do, I'll just fucking rock out.
Just shred it, innit?
Yeah, exactly. So it's gonna be fun. I can't wait for tonight. Well, for an hour.
Yeah.
It's gonna be good. So
what's mad is the photos and people buying merch and stuff, because like the first tour he's doing.
Yeah.
And people are buying shirts, they're getting photos. We've had photos with us, we've had
mum and dad had photos.
I gave him signatures.
I always give him a shout out, so I always say, oh yeah, we've got mum and dad doing the merch, and everyone goes nuts. Yeah. And they're like going,
you like that's more relatable, isn't it?
I think this is the thing, and I think that was the thing straight away when like we clicked, because obviously I could tell you were all busy, and we didn't speak for a couple of hours on set. Mm. And I remember chatting to your mum and dad, and I was just like, how cool is this kid? He's just brought his mum and dad on. Because I'd love to bring my parents on set, because some of the stuff I've done where it's like, God, I wish they were here to see, because they see the final product, and obviously you can tell they're proud, but sometimes you just think, God, I wish they were here to see like what I do, because I think sometimes they just think, oh, it's a piece of piss what you're doing, it, mate. You know what I mean? But it's hard.
It was awesome. So when we first signed the contract for the tour, we were working out how we're going to do like the getting around and stuff, and I was thinking about it. And yeah, my dad just came back from work. He's like, cool, I booked it off for a month. And I'm driving. So I was like, perfect. So yeah, so I mean, I think it's cool. I mean, some people might not inbound. I'm like, oh, you need a crew and that. I'm like, why?
No,
you don't need a crew. Because like then if you get a crew, you have to get a bus, or you have to get a truck, or you have to. So I like this as well.
Plus you have to pay out a lot more.
Having
the crew.
And I like this as well. Like, we don't need a bus because there's only three of us and then mum and dad.
Yeah.
And then obviously Sophie, who you met. Came along for the first couple of days.
Oh, nice, man.
I'm doing merch.
My brother's coming to one.
Yeah, my brother's coming to one next week. It's just nice. I just like it. I like that it's compact, but also like we still have the space we need.
Yeah,
get rowdy in the back.
I think it's that thing for you as well. It's a home from home in it almost as well, and that's going to make you relax and play better as well, isn't it? Because you know what I mean. You can tell you. Yeah. I always relate bands to families. Like, I've been fortunate over the years to work with some really cool bands, and they are just families. Like, they argue, you know, they're like brothers, like, and obviously you're brothers, so it's like, it's that thing where it's that camaraderie that you don't really get.
He's the mediator.
That's what I was going to say.
So, at the beginning, he's just like, right, stop. Yeah. Then we just like carry on.
It's probably a good job I got it now at the start. It's all right. Yeah, like 6 days ago.
If it was at the end of the tour, he wouldn't even be in this interview.
we were having a complete laugh and stuff. And then the second day of tour, it's just insult after insult. Everyone was like, fuck off, just go. It's funny though.
I love that though. It's
banter,
you need you've got to have that. Like, some of my mates, like, they absolutely like just rip into me. And like, you can see some people are like, mate, like, do you not get? And I'm like, no, because if I think I'm big time, then you get up. You, do you know what I mean? I'd never. Whereas my mates are still my mates. You know what I mean? They're the ones.
That's the thing. Yeah, like I went to Arizona to do my album.
Mm.
Big old studio. Went there for a week and recorded the whole album that's coming out in April. He came with me, and then he was just in the studio each day, just telling me what was shit.
You need that though, isn't it? Because everyone else, because that's the problem. There's enough people now, and especially because of social media and stuff. Like, you just blow smoke up your ass, and then you believe your own hype, don't you? As if you've got some of your mates with, or your friends and your family,
it was like we were at the gym, and remember when that message came up, and it was like a long paragraph of why someone like loved me so much or something. Mm. And then another fan saw that because I put it on my Instagram story, and they tried to compete, and went, "Oh yeah," and Nathan, and then people were doing it.
And it's
in the gym, he just turns around to me, he's like, "I'll put your fucking phone down, mate. Yeah. You're a prick, mate. Come and do this."
No. You ain't shit, mate.
Yeah, exactly. That's basically what it's like, and it was like, it's good to have that, though.
You've got to have that balance, man. Because
imagine if that was all you read every day.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's why it got to a point with me where, with social media, I kind of switched off of it from a bit, because you get messages off people, and it's fucking lovely. Even with the podcast, like some of the messages about it, it's like genuinely like fucking hell. You don't realize that you're helping people in that way. But then, like, say if you're constantly just getting that reassurance all the time, then you think, oh well, I'm fucking better than everyone else, and nothing I do is
especially
ever wrong.
Which point,
is
like,
yeah, exactly.
Because I'm not that big now, so I'm like, I'm just like kind of on that come up. So I still see all the messages. I still reply to them.
Yeah, man.
Someone running it for me. So
yeah, man.
But I had someone message me the other day, and they used a song that Sophie was on off my last album to propose to their girlfriend in a club. And
that's cool as fuck. Yeah.
And
that's sick.
And I think he said then she told him that she was pregnant at the same time. Like, oh. And I was like, wow, that's mad. So, and they want me to go sing at their wedding. And
yo, fucking hell.
That means more to me than like charting and.
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? It's things like that when you.
Yeah.
It's
at the beginning, like, when I like first charted, it was crazy because I was like, oh shit, I didn't know this would do anything. And then now it's like, it's good for promo, and it's good for like, it's just good marketing. Like, if I send it to a company and you say you've charted, or like to a tour, like,
yeah, oh, sure,
top five, get them on, get them on.
But I think it must be that thing as well, where, you know, the stuff you're producing and putting out, it's that kind of, oh shit, it is good. Not like to, but it's like, well, people like it because it's charted. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's that reaffirmation. It's like when you do certain things. I've done certain jobs where it's like, oh right, there's an audience there who get that and they understand it. But it's not necessarily like the best thing you've ever done, but it, like, I don't know, it kind of gives you a bit of it's positive feedback in it, but in a chart success, it's like, well, it's mate, nice. When you said you like, I was like buzzing, and I didn't really know you, and I was just like, it's fucking boy, that, you know what I mean? Yeah, it's like, because you do, I think it's that thing where you, I don't know, it's so weird and wonderful what we get to do and do these amazing things,
so,
but it's never enough, is it? Because you're constantly striving for the next thing and the next thing, and it's like.
Like, when I put a song out, and then it's only after a month of it going like, oh, like, that was an awesome song, I'm glad I did that. And then a month later, I listen back, and I'm like, oh, I could have done this better, I could have done that. But, yeah, it's music's so subjective that, like, you don't know if people feel like it.
Yeah.
Like, Holy Water was nothing like any of my other songs.
No, you thought that was going to flop, didn't you? What was it?
I loved it, and everyone I showed loved it, in the industry loved it.
Mm.
Like, then it was a case of, would my fans like it? When I've kind of ditched all the guitars.
Yeah. Because it worked, Adam put me onto, so I always listen to, because I have that thing where it's like, I won't just work with anyone. I'm at that point where it's like, I don't need to.
Yeah,
not, even back in the day, like, don't get me wrong, I did some music videos. I did one for Ollie Mears, to be fair, but he was a top lad, to be fair. And I liked him. But then a couple of other people, you think, I can't believe I did that. But I've always been pretty much like, if I like your music, I'll do it. But it's more with Adam, it's like, I'll do it because I know you're into your music and you're a good guy. And he was like, mate, really good guy, this. Sent me a couple of tracks. And then he sent me the track Holy One, I was like, fucking house a bit different. But I'm dead into my hip hop and grime, so I was a bit kind of like, fucking house is a bit different. But
yeah,
I think that's what's important as well. It's good to do different things in it to mix it up. You can't just do the same thing over and over.
Yeah, like the whole album has like, there's a song we're playing tonight called Burning Skies, and it's I worked on it with a producer called Killian Cruz. He's worked with like Little Mix, he's worked on X Factor and stuff. Great producer, and it's a super like summer pop song. It's just a straight up summer pop song. And then there's a song that we're opening with called Screaming Through the Radio, which is a bit of a heavier song. So the album has everything. And obviously Holy Water, which is just, you can't really explain what that song is.
Yeah, it's out there, isn't it? It is different, isn't it? It really is different.
But I actually had like really good feedback from everyone. I didn't have one negative comment from anyone about it. Like no one said to me, or my fans, message going, nah, it's not for me. And I thought I'd get a few, because there's a few who like just the harder stuff.
Yeah.
So I was expecting them to be like, no, I don't like it. And they loved it.
I think it's that thing again as well, where it's important to mix it up, but also like it's challenging, isn't it? It's challenging yourself as a songwriter, as a, you know, as a musician, and as a band altogether. It's that, you know, if you're just playing the same melodic thing all the time, don't get me wrong, but it must become a bit easier. Where you've got to be on your toes, aren't you? Where you're concerned, and again, that's the thing as well. When you're on tour, you've got to every night's different, every venue's different, yeah. The sound check's well, different.
We've had different problems like our in-ears have stopped working cable stopped working and stuff like that. It's like, shit.
You just got to go. It's like, I remember doing a play once and we were doing a fight scene and I actually hit the kid and like cut his lip and all that. And I was like, I'm so sorry. And then it was like, I can't do this because I've got to be back on stage. And it was so horrible because you're like, fucking hell, I've just hit someone. And I'm thinking about it, but I'm saying these lines and it's... But the same with you is what happens if your fucking hand goes in it. You've got, like I say, you've got to just carry on, haven't you? Yeah, the show must go on, innit? And you've got to...
It's mad. It's like... even like talking about Holy War and stuff, that song was passed around so much because like, it started off really different. And then I got... It was a lot shorter. Then I obviously got Vidal, who obviously rapped on it. Then I extended the ending to where that little like acoustic guitar that comes in. I got someone from Colombia to do that guitar part. And then I got a girl to come in and do strings, like real orchestral. And then I thought it was dumb. And then about 2 weeks before we went to Arizona, I added in a whole other ending. The whole Vulture Like You bit, like the big ending. Yeah, and then went to the studio. And then he just recreated the whole drop. So it wasn't until we got... back from Arizona that we actually had a, like knew what the song was
yeah
like.
Knew what it was going to be
so before I went there it was a really different song like it still had the kind of elements but it sounds so different now didn't it like so different now so it's
it
cool
so mad hearing that in the studio as well when that was built up and
hearing him like make it was crazy that was bizarre.
I think that's the thing now so when you so not every song because I'm sure it's probably different but you know is it kind of just writing the lyrics down and then on the acoustic guitar or is it just kind of different?
It's different for each thing.
Each one, yeah.
There's some songs that I write just like a riff for. Yeah. Or I'll like be driving home and I'll just write a chorus melody and I'll write to that or I'll record it into a project, the vocals, and then write around that.
Yeah.
So
When you watch Paul Wright music, it's so interesting because he builds fucking layers and layers. Yeah. I've never seen someone put so many layers. Like even the producer, when you see him, it's like, oh, so fucking hell, there's a lot here, isn't there?
Yeah.
But it's really interesting. He put like random pianos, like seven different guitar parts going. It's mad, absolutely mad.
It's funny. One of my very good friends, Michaela Miller, she's doing her album at the moment. And I've had the chance to kind of be part of that process and like watch it. And it's very similar. Like she will have fucking this, and that, and then you're like fucking hell, a bit, and then you'll hear it, and you're like fuck me, that's mint. And but it is. It's definitely. An artist or a songwriter, I think anyone's the same. I know writers are the same. I do when I write down. I still write on a paper and pen, mate.
Right.
It's like it's proper old school, and then you'll see some kids in the street, like, and you just do it on your phone, bro. And it's like, because I'm old school, mate, and that's how it comes out. And that's the way it comes out for me. But like, say there's no kind of right way to do it.
There's no rules. And that's what I love. Like, some labels, like, will make you do certain things, whereas, like, my label don't. Like they're fine with me not having rules. They're fine with me like doing a super summer pop song, and straight the next track is like an arena rock song. Mm. You know what I mean? And then going into the tank like Holy War, staying into a heavier rock song. It's like so. It's all like I don't know. I just think music should be exactly what you want it to be. If you're the artist, I don't think I need someone to tell me what I should be doing. Do you know what I mean? Like
yeah, definitely.
Even with the videos and stuff, like I had the idea, gave it to Adam. He loved it, and now he's.
It's absolutely funny. I was saying that to your dad. It's that thing as well, where especially because you're spinning so many plates, it's so important to collaborate with people because even though it is your idea, you've got to allow people to help you create that idea and get it to where it is because you obviously have the image and what you want to do. And it's the same with a song. It's like, but then the more people you get involved with it, it just becomes this thing. And then before you know it, it's like, fucking hell, I didn't think it was going to be there. But now it is, and I love it. Yeah. And it's
the thing is, the first album, I didn't do that at all. The first album, I was very set on exactly what I wanted and like how I wanted each bit to be. I didn't let anyone like help with it, and I just did it, that album. And I feel like I got that out of my system. That was my album to just be like, this is me. So I kind of didn't know if I was going to continue. When I was just like, I just put this album out because I've worked so hard on it, and so I was like, I just want it to be exactly as I want it. And then I look back at the album now, and I'm still proud that it was top 20 and did well. And but like, now I'm like, this album, next album is so much better. Because I've gone to a producer, because I've had co-writers, and it's just it makes it so much better.
I think that's the thing, isn't it? You've got to constantly evolve, haven't you? And you get bigger and better as an artist, don't you? And
definitely, But no, I'm super proud of the album still with Gravity, but. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I needed to do that, though. Like, I needed it to just be like me. And then now I can... I've found kind of what I want to do as an artist, which is what I'm doing now with this next album, and it's about to release in 24th of April. Screaming Through the Radio, there's the plug there. Legend Recordings, my manager, CB Entertainment, and Chris Bianchi. Get the plugs in. But yeah, I'm super stoked, man. I can't wait to just get this out, and fuck yeah, it's going to be awesome.
That's it, mate, isn't it?
Yes. Him and Sophie, they're honest, if anyone likes that. And him.
Oh, very fucking honest.
Yeah. Sophie didn't really like the first album. She was really proud of what it did, but it wasn't her kind of music.
Yeah.
And then with like all this album, she's just like her favourite album. She would like always put it on the car. Holy Water's her favourite song, she always puts it on.
Yeah.
And when that went to number two in the charts, that was, she was just like buzzing. So
this album is good. There isn't one song on it that I don't like. Which is weird, because normally when Paul does stuff, I'm like, nah.
I'm like, not all of it. I'm
but, yeah, but no, this album is very, very good.
Yeah.
I think it's that thing with an album as well. I think that's what's important nowadays, you know, the singles, but you forget like those classic albums that everyone loves, and there isn't a bad song on it, you know, you're like, that song for different reasons, and that's what's cool about it. And
so everyone's just doing singles now, and that's kind of the industry standard thing, because like the pop route.
I'm
going to do 2 standalone singles and promote them for like 6 months at a time, but that's while I go away and write an album. So rather than go away, write an album for 2 years, but not release anything, I want content to still come out.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you go silent for 2 years.
Yeah.
And nowadays, you just drop off.
Yeah.
You've got to stay relevant. So yeah. I'm literally going to have, I've got 2 songs already done.
Nice.
I'm going to go to a producer in Belgium, work with a producer, a Grammy Award winning producer. He's worked with McFly and Busted as well. And Don Broco, he's worked with loads. And then, yeah, this other song I'm going to be doing. So that's already in the works now, and I've got the song pretty much done. I've just got the orchestral back for the first one, which the video will be for, planning the video, and that's already looking into the future after this album.
That's it, man, isn't it? So you've got to be like that though, haven't you? That's something I've realized, and it's
especially with Spotify.
Oh yeah,
like people just pop up every now and get big.
Yeah. So like, well, that's all it takes, and it can literally be,
you know. And if I go away for 2 years and someone likes my song, they might be like, he's not released anything in ages. All right, cool. And then we'll just go like look at something else. Whereas if I didn't have a song out for 6 months that's being really pushed, but then another one's coming out, and then a full album comes out after.
Yeah.
And
it's got him then.
Yeah, because even then, after that 1 year period of 2 singles, the first single of the album drops, then another single, then another, and then the full album. So it's like you then have more content, videos, and it's all about content now.
Yeah. Oh, so the social media has changed the game. I say that to everyone, and it's like it's made me kind of, couldn't give a fuck about how many likes and fucking followers I have and all shit like that, but that is the game we're in now.
Yeah,
so that's why I know I need to put more content out. And it's not, the thing is, thankfully for me, it's like, and I'm sure it would be the same, you've got fucking hours and of content, but it's just having that ability now where it's like, right, I'm going to have to put that out then. And again, it's planning ahead and thinking ahead. And that's why tour must be so cool, because you're getting to go to these different places and venues that you probably never fucking would have heard of or gone. Yeah. But you're getting to play to an audience where it's like,
I used to be really like, when I first started, I think like anything, when I went from 30 followers to then 20,000, I think you just start thinking like, then it's all about numbers and you get really obsessed with it and likes and stuff. And I got 11,000 on this one, but then I got 6,000 on this one. Why? And now I don't really care. Like now I'm getting like, average out about 1,000 to 2,000 likes a pic, because I just don't put anything on my actual page. I love my Instagram story. Every day on my Instagram story, but my actual page, so inconsistent. Like I'll put like one picture out a month or whatever, and it's only to promote something, because I feel like my Instagram story is so much more personal. I could do it right now, Instagram story done.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I have people like messaging, and I get good views on that. So, I mean, I use my actual Instagram like page for just promotion, really. But I'm going to get better at that. I need to start doing more, the label told me.
Well, that's it. That's it, though, isn't it? It is part and parcel of it. And you realise, like, shit, it is. Because that's the way I use it. I use it as a business tool, because it's like, is that thing,
endorsements,
loads of shit. And you'd think, but you forget as well, there's things like, now I missed it about an hour ago and someone's posted something about me, and then one was training with my mate, he's an MMA fighter, and we're in the gym on the fucking treadmill, we're fucked, you know what I mean, we don't look good at all, we're fucking knackered, you know what I mean. But it's that thing of like
content,
oh shit, like, and then someone's going like, fucking hell, like, oh, he doesn't just take pictures, and I'm thinking like, I train with that guy for, and it's not for like, it's like, I've known that kid since we were fucking 12, do you know what I mean? And
they want to.
It's just the way it is, and it's instant, isn't it? It's just like, it's mad.
People want to see your actual like life as well. Yeah. As what you do. And that's one thing we're going to start doing more. It's like actual, just like, like more fun stuff.
You should, because exactly the thing is as well, it's like your dynamic as well. It's like, it's fucking classy seeing like your parents. Like, it's really fucking nice, and that to me is like, it's important that I'm documenting it all now. Like, even then, I got some really nice pictures, because it's so nice to look back on them and you think, fucking hell, yeah, I remember when we played Manchester, and fucking hell, yeah, we were late and whatever, and you'll forget that in a couple of years' time, because you'll be playing the fucking Ritz, or do you know what I mean? Like, NEN or something. It's mad, but it's just crazy. Documenting your journey is so important.
And even that, like, all the pictures we have now, I'm still already thinking, like, imagine when I got kids and stuff. And that. Even if this was the last tour I did, do you mean? If I just did one tour.
Especially that picture at Holmesworth.
That's cool. But, like, I saw that and I was like, shit.
Well, we couldn't see what we were on stage, and then we look back at the photo. Oh, shit.
There's a video there's a video where it's just on me, and then it, like, they pan around, and behind my head, you just see the whole crowd, and it's mad. So, like, we'll always have that.
Yeah.
Always.
That's it, man.
I love it, man.
That's part of the journey, though, isn't it? And it's that thing of, like, you know, when you were probably a kid, when you were learning to play the guitar, and you couldn't even do, like, two chords or whatever, and you think, fuck, I can't be arsed with this. And then
it's all that
now
work.
You're fucking playing sold-out venues and shit.
It was
and, like,
a weird one, though, wasn't it? Because when we came off first, we were like, oh, it wasn't as good as the others, because they weren't massively interactive, and then we were buzzed after.
Yeah. Like, they were. The rest of the night. But you listen to, like, the cheers and stuff, and, like, they were actually, like, proper buzzing.
You don't really notice on stage, do you? You just get lost in what you're doing.
Yeah, it's weird, man. It's a weird thing, like, looking back at all the hard work that's gone into this. But it's not even been that long. Like, properly working on music professionally, it's been 3 years.
Yeah.
So in 3 years, I'm playing sold-out shows, which is crazy, with the calling.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, shit,
man. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
it's mad, that, and I think that's the thing as well. Sometimes you forget that, don't you? You think, fucking hell, like, a couple of years ago, I was like... I was teaching. I was teaching a couple of years ago.
I was working retail. I was working retail. And then I went out to America, it all started, and then now I've got top 5 China songs, top 20 China album. Signed a management deal, signed a record deal, and now I'm playing some of our shows and about to play another one in like half hours. Like,
when was that like that moment when you were like, sorry, Sean, doing a podcast there, I love you, but I'll ring you back. When was that moment when you were like, fuck it, I'm gonna go out to America and do this? Because when you told me that, I was like, that's fucking balls.
That's
do you know what I mean? That's front, man.
So
fair play to you.
I messaged the guy who was like big in music, Dave Escamilla. He was in a band called Cranny Empire, a bit heavier. And he left, and I had a song that I'd just written randomly one day, and I was like, I'll see if he'll feature on it. Hit him up. And then he said yes. He was gonna mix it. About a month later, we were sending it back and forth, and it's so hard to do a mix on a song back and forth.
Oh, yeah.
unless it's like a professional producer. So I just messaged him one day. I was in the shower and I was like, maybe I just say to him, what if I just go out there? We do it together. I'll go for 3 days. 3 days on a like 10-hour flight. So one of them's just traveling, the other one's traveling. So basically you get like 2 days max or whatever. But I said to him, I was like, why don't I go out? And he just messaged back with like, are you serious? I was like, yeah. You got for it? And he was like, well, yeah, that's fucking awesome. Let's do it. And I went out there for 3 days. Gone well. Started the band. Then went out there again. Then when that didn't work out, and I was just messaging everyone, and it kind of gave me confidence, and then I released my own album, and I kind of actually released my album thinking like, oh, I'm just going to drop it, and then I'll just crack on with whatever else, but then the next day, because you know, when you release an album, and you don't have a label, you don't really see any like money or stats until like a month later, you don't really see what it actually did, and then the next day I got a message from a fan, it was above Guns N' Roses in like the rock charts, and I was like, and on the same page, I was like, who else was on there? I was like,
Queen
were on there, and fucking, I was like, shit, I was like, top 20, I was like, no way, and I couldn't even believe it.
Yeah.
I could not believe it at all. And then, so I was like, I'm gonna carry on.
Yeah, you were very close to stopping, weren't you?
Yeah, I was
literally having to tell him, like, I was like, you can't stop now. Just like,
yeah,
so I think that's the thing, isn't it, when you, because that's the big thing, and that's why I'm really glad I did this one, especially the podcast. It's that thing of people just see a video or they'll see the success, and they don't realise like how many times you think, fuck, I can't be arsed with this, and the people around you who say, keep going on.
The thing is with that is it was like, because it was, he was the one who was big, and then I got announced through his page, and then that got me my followers, and it shot up from there, and you start to think, if I put this album out, do they care, or are they just
there for him? Yeah.
And then when I realise they are there for me as well, and they've stuck by me, like, it means the world. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, it's crazy. It's crazy to think in just 3 years. Can't imagine what's going to be happening in the next 3 years.
That's it, mate, innit? It's that's the exciting thing. And it's I'm sure that's the big thing as well, where it's like the best days that haven't happened yet. And that's crazy when you think of that.
Yeah, that's really mad. I don't even know what's happening in the next 3 fucking minutes, you know what I mean? Like, after today's travelling, you don't even know. So like, we've got to go back in soon.
No, mate, should we call it now? Because I feel like I don't want to take any more time. You need to get ready and all that stuff as well.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we have to. Well, we need to. We need to jump on a podcast again soon.
Mate, we'll do a pop one. I'll do the mic. But just thanks so much, guys. I really appreciate it. And, enjoy the gig tonight, man. Thanks for playing Manchester, man. Best man.